Anybody going to the Philippines? Not yet, not yet. All right. Well, we started our lesson the first Sunday of the month, and the title of that message was How to Be Prosperous, to be successful in this 2016. And we share about there's steps that we have to follow as anybody else. And the things that we studied, it's not only how to be successful in the world, but it's also to be successful in the things of God, right? And we study some things that we need to do that in order to be successful, and especially in the things of God. And so we say that we need to establish our cause. What are the things that really makes us awake and excited? And that's really what are the things that really give us the urge to wake up every morning, right? And then not only that, we have to establish the cause, but then we also have to examine our condition. Where are we now? Okay, because when we are not aware of where we are, we're gonna be deciding some kind of a spurt of the moment. You're gonna decide it without any thinking at all. So we need to know where are we, right? So that we know where we're going, and then we need to encourage that. Our confidence, and that not only to encourage our confidence, but also encourage or enforce our character. And not only that, we have to enlist our comrade. But then we look up the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Eliezer. And those are the three characters. This the story of Abraham, how God sent him to the country that he doesn't know anybody. And that when he arrived to that country, he became established that area where God has prospered him so much money to the point that they even have to divide the land. Remember Abraham and what's his nephew?
Lot.
And then they divide. There's so much prosperous, so much money, so much wealth that they have to divide. They had to divide the land. Remember that? Remember? Yeah. And so they have divide the land. And then to the point that his son, what's his son's name? Abraham's son?
Isaac.
Needs a bride, right? So he used Eliezer to find a bride for his son, Isaac. Remember that? And then those are the story in the Old Testament, but do you know that it has a spiritual application in our own life? Right? Because God really wants to prosper you and me. Right? So He used Abraham, Isaac, and Eliezer. So, but there's a spiritual application in our life. This Abraham, it typifies God the Father. And Isaac typifies Jesus Christ. And then Eliezer, it typifies the Holy Spirit. So Abraham sent Isaac to find a wife. Oh, Eliezer, to find a wife for Isaac, right? Are you with me?
Yes.
So these are the because this has an application in our own life. Do you know that God is looking for a bride? Right? Because when he comes back, he wants to have a bride. God is not looking for a date. He's looking for a bride. For his son, Jesus Christ. So So why do we have to go to church? Right? Because that's where you know, some of them, we go to church because we have some beautiful or handsome guys, right? Right? Anybody? Right? Nobody will agree with me. Are all the single ones, are they here? I want them to be here because this is a very important message. Because God is looking for a bride. He's not looking for a date. God doesn't want just to have a date with you, but He wants to have a bride. Right? And that's why we have the second week of our lesson is that does it going to church really make a difference? Huh? Does going to church just church attendance really make a difference between you and me? It does. And we learned three things on that, right? Three things. In order, why is it that it makes a difference when we attend the church, local church, not really just this one. I mean, wherever you are, we need to be in a local church. We need to be connected to a local church, right? Amen? And then the reason why attending a church makes a difference because it will what? It will, we exalt God, amen? We exalt our Lord Jesus Christ when we worship together. I know that there is we can worship in our own self at home, or we can listen to the good sermons. We have very, very good sermon in the TV. You can select which one you want to listen. Sometimes I kind of listen to that. In the morning of Sunday, we have Prince, you know Prince? Joseph Prince? Fridge? Prince, okay, whatever that. Prince Rice or whatever. They have so many pastors or preachers in the TV. You just select which one. You can do that too. But the reason why it's important to be in the church, in the local assembly, because we can exalt together Christ, right? And then the second reason why it's the attending the church make a difference is because we evangelize the lost through witnessing together. See, when we come together, we're witnessing to the people that next door. When they come in here, they go there to the next door. They can be, even though they will not come, but they can hear the Spirit. Oh, God, that's in here. Amen. There's a couple of people that goes there to the next from the next door, and then they will come in there during worship and just listen. So that makes a difference. And then the last one is that to encourage our Lord through working together. So those are the steps that we learn. But then now that you are in the church, you are attending the church. Is there something that God wants us to do when we are in the church? Because He placed us in a local assembly, right? So that we can do all the things that we just mentioned. But is there something that we need to do when God put us in the local assembly? Yeah, there is. Because once He put us in the local assembly, He wants us not to walk how we used to walk there in the world before. But He wants us to walk as He walked. So what He did, He gave us a constitution. Like in America, we have a constitution of the United States of America. Right? Like in England, they have the constitution of the kingdom of England, of the king. Right? The same thing in the God's kingdom. Now you and I are already in the God's kingdom. Amen? So he gave the people, the residents of that kingdom, you and me, a framework or a constitution, right? He gave us the agenda of what you and I should act, or how we should live with one another, right? Amen. So that we will not be driving even though it's a red light. So he give us the green light to go straight, and then red light not to pass red light, but to stop, right? So he give us the constitution of his kingdom, that whoever lives in that kingdom should follow that, and then you will be prosperous. Amen? How many are with me? So I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. We will see the kingdom. How is the constitution of the kingdom of God is being framed? He has the agenda for that kingdom, for those citizens of that kingdom. Right? And we're going to read Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. How many of you are familiar with that verse, with that scripture? Huh? No, I'm asking how many are you familiar? Okay. That's the chapter, the very important chapter for the citizen of the kingdom of God. And sometimes some theologians they call that the attitude of a Christian. So what should be our attitude now that we live in the new kingdom, in the new government? But even though we are here in the government of the United States of America, but for Christians, we should be living to this constitution of the kingdom of God. Right? Okay. Because this is the most famous passage of the scripture concerning the Lord and his teaching. And we will start here in Matthew chapter 5. But before that, let us pray. Let us pray. Amen. Father, we ask you now as we read the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you would take us beyond the human understanding. And may the divine inspiration of your Holy Spirit be our teacher today. Thank you for bringing us together, that we can just sit at your feet, that you will just teach us as your ways, and we will work therein. That you will teach us, no matter what stage in our life, how to function, how to get along, how to love one another. We thank you for the word, and we ask that you will, that as we read, you will quicken our hearts and our spirit this morning, in Jesus' name. And everybody would say, amen. Amen. Are you there? Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 12. Verse 1, it says, but now when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, verse 3, blessed. I want you to write down, if you have your Bible with you, I want you to write down or underline the word blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Verse 12, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophet who were before you. So here, I can't help but notice the word blessed. Did you underline that word? And about how many blessed, word blessed did you underline? 10? Okay. Is there somebody that have underlined 11? Or 8? Or 9? 9? 9 and 10. It's depending on the version that you have. Okay? So don't worry about if you have only 8 or 7. Okay? But the word blessed, I believe everybody wants to be blessed. Anybody here that doesn't want to be blessed this morning? Anybody? So everybody wants to be blessed. According to St. Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the word blessed, it means held in reverence. It says, the blessed saints. It says, honored in worship. Or enjoying happiness. And the other one, bringing pleasure. See that? Bringing pleasure or contentment or good pleasure. However, the word blessed that is used here by Matthew, the Hebrew word is, I could not pronounce it, but it is makarismos. That's the Hebrew word. I don't know, but it indicates an acknowledgement or credit. A blessing rather than a condition or status. So it's not a condition of who we are or who are you. The word blessed here by Matthew, it means to be happy. It means to be envied. It means well off. I think this is probably the desire of the whole world. Amen? Right? Can you imagine that $1.5 billion? Man, how many millions of people wants to be blessed? How anybody here that it's because you want to be blessed, right? I want to be 1 million, what, no, 1 million, 1 billion, $1.5 billion. I bet you I want to be blessed too. Right? But do you know that you have a higher chance of praying to God that your prayer will be answered? Do you know that? That your prayer will be answered by God better than buying that lotto ticket? Right? Amen? I bet you whoever won this is how many million? How many winners? Oh my gosh, do you guys, that means you bought that ticket too. you know how many people. But you cannot help this hype. Man, how many weeks that money is just going up and up? Huh? But I bet you there's a lot of people would like to be blessed. Amen? So just in the daily basis, we get up every morning and says, I'm blessed. How many of you would say that, you know what, I get up every morning, I am blessed. Going to sleep at night, I am blessed. I'm glad that I don't have to have $1.5 billion to be blessed. I'm blessed because I have a good relationship with God. Amen? And I say to you that if the reverse, this is how you will not be blessed if you will have done opposite from this beatitude. So now we are all seeking for a blessing of God as a Christian, and we want to be blessed even though we are not Christian. Right? How many millions wants to be blessed on that $1 billion? We do want to be blessed even though they are Christian, but how much more a Christian wants to be blessed by God? Amen? So, but the problem is we seek in a wrong way. See, we seek it through the possession. We think that by possessing, by having a $1.5 billion, you are blessed. We seek through money. We seek through fame. And I was reading the most richest basketball player. The 10 most richest basketball player in 2015. Yeah, 2015. And I see those players, man, they have about forces. The highest, I believe, was 60 billion, up 60 million. That's nothing if you want that 1.5 billion, right? You don't have to play basketball to earn that money. But just to have those millionaires basketball player, and a lot of NBA players, probably they are seeking to be on that level. But if we try everything to be blessed, but we seek in a wrong way, and it's just don't work. And Jesus come in such a powerful word and said to simply, and yet we respond to them. He said, "You will be blessed. You will be blessed in the morning. You will be blessed in noon. We will bless at night." Again, he does not say that you won't have problem, right? Jesus Christ didn't say that you will not have a problem. He said that you will be blessed. Amen. And as we look up this beatitude, in the next few weeks, we're going to look up this beatitude. Because this is the way how you and I respond to the kingdom of God. Because you are not on this world anymore. How many believe that you are not in this world? You are in God's world. If you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior of your life, you are in His world. You are in His kingdom. And we should operate, and we should respond, and we should live the way how the citizen of the kingdom of God should walk. Right? Oh, it's so weak. Yes? Amen? That's what we should do. Amen? And so we're going to look up this beatitude. One of the things that I would like to draw your attention to is the gift of the Spirit. They kind of overlap, but we will start there. Blessed are the poor in what? In spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. This is the first one, the principle, the prime key in living in the kingdom of God. And if you miss this first one, it's like a building that you're making a foundation in the building, but you miss this one part of the foundation and the whole building is going to collapse. And you will not have a very strong foundation, because this is the foundation that God wants us to learn and to apply this in our life. Amen. So this one, probably the most important thing. So what the Lord is doing here is He's revealing to us the difference between the world and His kingdom, or the people that lives in the world and you and I, Christians. He's not talking about the natural tendency, but He is talking about the really happen when you become a Christian and you follow and you apply and you act in His kingdom. Amen? And this kind of a negative word, when we say blessed are the poor in spirit, we don't want to hear poor. Right? How in the world is He going to bless me if I am poor? He's trying to tell us here that there is a difference between the world and the church. Right? And that difference is so insightful, it's so profound, that we cannot mistake a true follower of Jesus Christ. See, when we act to be blessed in the poor in spirit, there is something in the way how you act. because it will differentiate the world and in his kingdom, the citizen of that world and his citizen of his kingdom. There's something that they can see the difference. They can tell. Now the world will look up lies that they look at it from a position or self or self-reliance, self-confidence, despise the poor in spirit. Religion is a bad taste for the people. Christianity is unhuman and weak. This is what the world thinks. And to admit that you have the hunger and the thirst for righteousness just does not ring any bell in the world. Because it's different. Amen? You might say that, you know what? Russia found out that after 70 years without God, they totally bankrupt. See, Russia did that. They set aside, they take out God in their society. They think that we can just eliminate one part of the society, this Christian here, and you will be okay. But you know what? They were in trouble. They don't know that the way out, their morals were gone. And they were in trouble. And that for 70 years, they could not find their way out from that trouble. So we need to know who he is. It's not that we need to know who we are. Because if we know who he is, if we know who God is, then we know who we are. Right? Amen? So Jesus Christ is saying that you don't have any answer. If your answer comes from yourself, self ends when you die. Right? Self does not have eternal value. If you're going to live based on yourself. So Jesus is directly starting off his teaching here in Matthew, dealing with self. And you're gonna have a hard time understanding it if you're fun with selfie. You know selfie is? Amen. So we need you need to put that aside and deal with this word that we're gonna study today. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Right? Amen. You are really going to know what it is to come into the rule and authority of God. If you are poor in spirit, the Lord admires who are poor in spirit. A child of God is God reliance. A Christian has God's confidence. That is why we pray. The less you pray, the more self-confidence you have. And the truth is, the less you pray, the more you will say, you know what? I don't need God. Amen? That's the truth. The more you pray, the more proof that you trust God and that you need Him more. Amen? And today, what is the hardest discipline in the church? Do you know? Prayer. Because Satan is always trying to get us to be self-reliant, self-confidence. And our society today, every time, even our government, mostly our, particularly the government, self-reliance, arrogant. Amen? I have my own self-worth. I can do it. And Jesus starts the beatitude and said, there are two kinds of kingdom. The kingdom of self, if you want to live it in your own life based on your energy, your kingdom of yourself, and now there's a kingdom of God. the kingdom of heaven. So now I want you to paint or put it in your heart this morning that now there is a kingdom of yourself, even though you're out from the world, but you have two choices, the kingdom of yourself or the kingdom of God that you're going to live in. Amen? And you can decide which kingdom you want to live in. And that is really Christianity. What kingdom do you want? And you will say, I can make it. I can do it myself. And I don't need God. Well, go and ask the communists. They tried it for 70 years. And they said they just wipe out one generation and get rid of the idea that there is a creator and there is a higher value system. And what they say is the state. And we will eliminate all the messages of God. And they have tried it. 70 years. Amen? The reason why you and I are here today, because of we really and honest that we cannot do a day when self was bankrupt. We realized that we cannot handle my own life. I cannot control my emotion. I was bankrupt. And out of that bankruptcy, the Lord stepped in and said, you know what, I'll put my life together if you put your trust on me. To just like a devotion in our daily bread last Friday, is that he abandons himself in God will never be abandoned by God. Amen? What an encouragement to live for him. Our strength for the present and hope for the future are not based on a self-reliance, but on the fidelity or commitment of God in my life. So let's look up this word, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This verse that we have this morning. If you are taking notes, this is what it is not. This is not blessed are the poor in spirit. It's not false humility. It's not retiring type of spirit. It's not nervousness. It's not lacking in encouragement. It's not being poor financially. You cannot find the scripture that the Lord loves and desires the slums of the city. He loves the people, but he does not love poverty. Can I say amen? You think that God loves poverty? No. In fact, he wants us all to bring out from that wants and lack. This is what it is. This is what blessed are the poor in spirit means. Did you get that note? Blessed are the poor in spirit. It's not a false humility. It's not retiring type of spirit. It's not nervousness. It's not lacking in encouragement. It's not being poor financially. Did you get that? But this is what it is. Blessed are the poor in spirit is recognizing our outer helplessness for God. That we need God. Would you say amen for that? All of us, we need God. Amen? It's recognizing that I could not face life and eternity apart from God. Amen? Without God, our eternity, you're going to be in limbo. No, there's no limbo. You're not going to be up there. It's either down there or up there. Right? It's recognizing that I could not face life and eternity apart from God. The word says, all we need is a break. Yeah, I need God. I could not face life and eternity without God. The world needs God when death comes. Remember the three times that a lot of people here in America, they go to church only three times in their life? Is that when they were born, they were Christian, they were baptized, and then when they were matched, when they get married, and then the last time that they will be in the church is that when they were dispatched, when they die. Amen? Amen? But we need God. Right? So it means that it's It's no matter that we receive in this world's position, fame, money, we are not better than the next person. I don't care who you are, what station in life you have, how much money you have. When it comes right down in values, we have no higher values because of position than the man standing next to you. And that's what it means, poor in spirit. It means to be empty of the pride of self-achievement. It does not mean that you don't achieve things, but we don't go around taking pride of our achievement. We don't go around like a peacock, you know, the peacock. Amen? It means to be empty of pride and self-achievement. There is a big difference. Our boast is in the Lord. Amen? The scripture said to be empty of pride of self-achievement. And to be poor in spirit is to approach life with humility and appreciation. It means to be grateful. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now, the opposite is to be full of self, to be caught up in self, self-righteousness. And there's a difference between self-righteousness and the righteousness of God. When we realize to be poor in spirit, we're saying that we cannot be poor in spirit until you empty of yourself. So as long as this cup is full of water, you cannot get anything unto it. Amen? And unless ourself is full, God could not fill you up because there's full. And that's why God is saying, you need to empty yourself so that I can fill you up. I can give you the water that whoever take it and drink it will never thirst again. Amen? God would like to come and bless you and me with the righteousness of Christ and would like to pour in, but there is no room for us. Poor in spirit means you are empty of self, right? Self-worth, as far as God is concerned, as long as I think I'm good enough, why should I accept the Lord? Why should I invite Him to my life when I can do it? Why should I trust the Lord if I can do it? And this is not a matter of beating yourself down. Amen. I remember back in the Philippines, and especially, how many of you have been to Quiapo, that church in Quiapo? You know where Quiapo is? Is there from people from Manila here? You know, in Quiapo, yeah, I go there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, every day. And then people will kneel from the door. Have you seen those people? They kneel from the entrance and then go to the front. They do that every time I go there, there is somebody there. And sometimes from Quiapo, I go to Cubao. There is a Christ the King. How many of you have been to Christ the King? I've been there too. And then after from Christ the King, I go to Baclaran. You know where? Huh? Have you been to the Baclaran Church? It's the same thing. People will kneel down from the door. You know what? I could not satisfy myself. I have to do it because of my self-achievement. I think I can do it. I don't need God. I just put Him. But it's looking for myself. How many understand what I'm saying? But there's no end until God, Jesus Christ, I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. And that, you know, you don't have to go there to nail or to beat yourself. And so that guy that he will flagging himself, God died that one already, so that you and I will have to go through this anymore. Amen? So, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God produce? The kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? I don't have to buy that lechon anymore. Oh. And then there's another one besides from lechon. What's that? Brisket or crispy para or sibutson. Yeah, how many of you have heard sibutson? Huh? Sibutson? You know, lechon without the head? Just all the stomach? See, talk about eating. We can relate with one another, huh? So, but the kingdom of God produce, what the kingdom of God produce? The kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. And that's why Sister Pia did not bring food today, because I know I'm going to talk about eating. But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And there's a scripture over Isaiah 57, verse 15. I just want you to put a note, write down Isaiah 15. Isaiah 57. Verse 15 that says, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, and to revive the heart of the contrite." See, God would like to live within us. God wants to dwell in you and me, those who have a contrite spirit, those who are poor in spirit. That's what God is looking for. Him for in his kingdom, people that have a contrite spirit. Even Isaiah said, you know what, guy in the highly place would like to live in a heart, what's that again, dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is a contrite and lowly spirit, and to revive the heart of the contrite. See, God lives to those people that have poor in spirit, those who have a contrite heart. Amen? So God visits people that have humble and contrite spirit. The word contrite, in the Hebrew, I don't know about Hebrew. I got this from the Bible. It says Dakaw, Dakaw, which means crush and powder. Ooh. Crush and powder. That means there's nothing about myself anymore. It's crush and powder. He cannot visit those who are full of pride. He could not come and pour unto him if you are full and choked to the life of self. There's no way he can visit you and me. He says, the one that I can visit from my high and lofty place in eternity are the humble and contrite spirit. Wow. But I don't want you to go home today with, you know, you think, oh, Pastor Ed, he beats me up. You know, I don't have myself anymore. No. That's not what God wants you to do. It's a false humility. Amen? So that's why I want you to put a note in there about what a poor in spirit means. Amen? If we look up the men in the Bible, and you find every man of God did not think a lot of themselves. A lot of themselves. Just like in Gideon, Judges chapter 6, verse 15. You put it there, Judges 6:15. And then you go home and look it up. Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you. How many believes that I'd rather be with God than me with my old self-reliance and self-confidence? I'd rather be with God. Amen? Moses. Remember, we talk about Moses, right? Moses. First, he's full of pride. He wants to kill the Egyptian. And then when he killed, he ran away and stayed in the back of the desert for 40 years until God called him again. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, Isaiah said, woe to me. Remember that word? Woe to me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I will dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. So the same thing with David. Who am I that you would come to me? And all of this is about self is missing. The Lord is saying that if you are poor in spirit, if you recognize that without me you cannot do anything, then God will come in into your life and direct every steps that you do. Amen? It is the absence of pride, complete absence of self-reliance and self-assurance. It is the consciousness that we cannot do anything without the Lord. Amen? And I need the Lord. That's the man that is God is going to be blessed. Is going to bless. How to become poor in spirit? We do not focus on ourselves with their self-exaltation, self-mutilation, and I'm going to put myself down and whip myself and climb myself in the cathedral step of blood and in my knees and to put myself down. No, I don't. That's not the poor in spirit that means here in the Bible. Amen? So would you agree with me that we need to do emptying of ourselves? And that is my prayer this morning. And as we start the first Sunday of the year. How many knows that if we want to end, we have to have a better start, right? We need to have a strong start. And I believe we have a strong start in our life with God this year. Amen? And in Psalms 138, verse 6, though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Amen? So that's I would like to share with you this morning. And for the next four weeks, we're going to be studying the constitution of the kingdom of God. Amen? And before I end the sermon, the message that we have, I would like to call Sister Myra. And he wants to share with us what we're going to do for maybe starting next week. Right? Come on, Sister May.
Good morning.